Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about which company bought hundreds of thousands of acres of timberlands in Montana, an update on U.S. Congress, and the third installment of the new Yellowstone series. It's Wednesday, December 25th. Merry Christmas. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A Georgia-based timber and real estate company is confirming it's the buyer of 630,000 acres of Montana timberlands from Weyerhaeuser. There was widespread speculation that the deal announced last week could cut off public access to some of that land. But as Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports, Southern Pine Plantations says it will maintain that access.
In a press release announcing the $145 million deal, Weyerhaeuser said it would provide productive timberlands for the undisclosed buyer and maintain a 110,000-acre conservation easement that has provided public access for years. But there was widespread speculation from state and local elected officials in both Flathead and Lincoln counties that the buyer was Southern Pine Plantations, a company known to buy large tracts of land and sell pieces to private investors, potentially cutting off public access to hunting and fishing grounds. In a press release Saturday, a lawyer representing Southern Pine Plantations confirmed the company was the buyer and said longstanding access agreements would remain in place. Weyerhaeuser isn't confirming that information on its end and maintains that the deal won't impact its three mills in the Flathead Valley. Flathead County Commissioner Philip Mitchell says the announcement addressed most of his concerns, but says the county is still keeping tabs on the land sale.
We can't overstep our boundary with what they're allowed to do by law, but I just have a concern about how we're going to keep the mills open and keep people employed here.
But not everyone is appeased. State House Representative Steve Gunderson of Libby responded to the news on social media saying, quote, "Let's see that in writing." Lincoln County Commissioner Mark Pack says he wants Weyerhaeuser to consider selling some or all of the land to private timber companies already operating in the area.
You know, without more details, I just don't believe it. I know at some point they have to sell that land in order to get their return on investment.
Peck says the potential piecemealing of the land to private owners would not just impact public access, but also the local timber economy and even fire management. Weyerhaeuser expects to close the deal next spring. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
With Montana News, I'm Yellowstone Public Radio's Nikki Ouellette.
And I'm Corin Cates Carney with Montana Public Radio. It's been a busy few weeks in Congress, so let's catch up on some of the highlights and what Montana's congressional delegation is making note of. Nikki, a couple big authorization and spending bills crossed the finish line in the last week or two. What's catching your eye?
So these are giant pieces of legislation that Congress has to pass each year to keep the government running. And there's kind of this tradition where each senator or representative points to the bill and they say, "I brought this home and it's a big win for my home state." This year, all three of Montana's delegates to D.C. are pointing to passage of federal recognition of the Little Shell Tribe. This is something that the tribe's been working on for generations. Senators Daines and Tester are also pointing to the Defense Authorization Bill, and they say there's a bunch of wins in Malmstrom Air Force Base in Great Falls there. There's some money earmarked for the Minuteman III modernization and maintenance. This is part of the Intercontinental Ballistic Missile System that's part of the nation's strategic defense. There's more money earmarked for the new version of that called the Ground-Based Strategic Deterrent Program. Also in that bill, there's a 3.1% pay raise for military families, and the bill codifies 12 weeks of paid parental leave for federal employees.
Also on spending, Republicans in Montana's congressional delegation, especially Steve Daines, who is running for re-election next year, Daines points to over $1 billion for a barrier at the southern border, and this is something that President Trump has said is a big priority for him.
Another thing that Daines is pointing to at the northern border, he's trying to bolster some safeguards for the Port of Raymond entry. Customs and Border Protection earlier this year was thinking about cutting back some hours, and they kind of flip-flop back and forth. So Daines is calling for them to consult with state and local elected officials, community members, and industry stakeholders before they make any changes to hours of operations.
Nikki, one of the big issues that often gets a lot of talk in Montana is the Land and Water Conservation Fund. How is that sitting after Congress's action the last few weeks?
So earlier this year, Donald Trump signed a bill that permanently reauthorizes this fund, but it didn't hold any money for it. The goal has always been to fund it at $900 million annually from revenue from taxes on oil and gas drilling on public lands. This year, it looks like the fund will be half funded at $495 million for fiscal year 2020. Tester Ann Jaynes currently has a bill trying to permanently reauthorize the fund at $900 million. We'll see what happens with that in the next year. Corin, those are some of the things I've noticed. What sticks out to you?
I think the delegation is making a note or highlighting some of the bills that they say will help address the disproportionate rate of Native American women who go murdered and go missing. We've seen a lot of action on that in the state legislature, and now Congress is now saying they're taking up the issue more. Another one of the big headliners of the last few weeks is the House passage of the United States-Mexico trade agreement. Nikki, how did we see Montana's representative Greg Gianforte act on this, and what are agriculture groups saying?
So Gianforte voted in support of this bill, although he criticized House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for not bringing it up for votes sooner. President Trump is seeing it as a big win, as are Senators Tester and Daines. For local impacts, Canada is Montana's top trading partner. And Montana farmers, especially barley producers, have big malt contracts down in Mexico. So most of the trade groups are seeing this as a win. Although some of the details still need to be fleshed out, and the House bill will end up being conferenced with a Senate version, so there'll be some changes made before it's final.
Something that I thought was interesting was there's kind of this growing frustration about robocalls, and last week we saw this bipartisan step in Congress to address that. It's called the TRACED Act, and it's an acronym for the Telephone Robocall Abuse Criminal Enforcement and Deterrence Act. The bill requires phone service providers to create technology that can authenticate a call, and federal regulators will create rules for when companies can go about blocking a call that's based on this authenticating process. And the bill also requires the Department of Justice to work with federal communication regulators to study how it can enforce the prohibition on certain robocalls. And again, this is an issue that all of Montana's congressional delegation was in support of, and they say it's impacting Montanans. And I think one of the big things we're seeing, at least in the last week, taking up a lot of air in the room, kind of all around the country, is impeachment.
Yeah, this has sort of sucked up our airwaves for the past month. Montana's sole voice in the House, Greg Gianforte, voted against both articles of impeachment that the House approved late last week. Now the impeachment proceedings move to a trial in the Senate. Republican Steve Daines has indicated full support for Trump. He's called the impeachment a sham. Democrat John Tester is messaging a little more middle of the road on this. He says it's the Senate's duty to evaluate the evidence and facts that's brought before them, and that that's what he'll do. So he hasn't really committed himself either way yet.
Got it. Well, thank you for looking into all of this.
Thanks. And we'll definitely be picking these bills apart further as we have time in coming weeks. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
And for Montana Public Radio, I'm Corin Cates Carney.
In the Great Plains of Montana, an ex-Silicon Valley entrepreneur is slowly stitching together the next Yellowstone. His organization is doing it by purchasing ranches, kicking out the cattle, and opening up the land to bison, wolves, and even grizzly bears. The project is heralded by environmentalists, local tribes, and many hunters, but a majority of ranchers and farmers here are vehemently against it. With support from the Pulitzer Center, the Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie reports the third in this five-part series about American Prairie Reserve.
A small group of ranchers are gathered at the first Crick Community Hall in northeastern Montana. It's a hot Sunday afternoon, but most everyone is wearing church clothes. We're talking snap-button Western shirts, combed hair, and blue Wrangler jeans. See, this community center also serves as a makeshift church for ranchers on Sundays. There's a wooden cross in the corner held up by a Christmas tree stand. Traveling preacher Hal DeBoer presses play on a black boombox and leads his tiny congregation in a country-style hymn. Even though he's from Florida, DeBoer has lived and preached here in Montana for 44 years. He fell in love with the ranching culture, and today he's wearing a big, shiny belt buckle and cowboy boots. DeBoer says he can't quite put into words just how much the prairie means to him.
I want to be here. I don't want to be anywhere else. It's like I'm a part of the land.
Many of the ranching families who have lived in this pocket of the Great Plains for more than a century feel the same way. The whole place is like one big neighborhood where everyone knows everyone. So when news starts spreading that a neighbor just sold their sprawling ranch to American Prairie Reserve, the parishioners are shaken up.
I'm sad by it.
That's rancher Peggy Bergsegel. She says sure, she understands why someone might sell their big ranch.
They lived hard, they had a tough time, and they want to live well. Greed.
But Bergsegel would never sell out, especially to the reserve.
They can drag me with wild horses across the prairie. I won't. I won't.
It's a sentiment shared by a lot of locals here. Driving around, I see banners everywhere saying, "Save the cowboy, stop the American Prairie Reserve." They're in yards, tacked to sheds, taped to windows. And I've heard many different arguments against the project, some bordering on the crazy. Like this is a cunning plot by the United Nations to clear everyone out of the Great Plains. But the most common argument boils down to this. God gave people this land so it can be worked, so we can produce food or fuel from it, not so it can sit wild and untamed. Pastor Hal DeBoer says that's a biblical idea. God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden.
And the very first words that he said to man was, "I want you to work this and take care of it." So to me, that is what the ranchers and farmers are doing. They're working the land, but they're taking care of it.
But ranching and farming this pocket of the Great Plains is really tough. The winters are brutal, the land is dry, so why wouldn't a rancher sell? American Prairie Reserve is paying millions of dollars for each spread. They could buy a nice retirement home by a lake somewhere. So the next morning, I visit with one rancher to find out why she won't sell. Connie French is moving cattle on the C Lazy J Ranch.
I might go pull that orange post.
French doesn't look like a stereotypical rancher. Instead, she reminds me of someone's artsy, garden-loving grandmother. Gray curly hair, a big broad sun hat, and the deeply tanned face of someone who spends every day outdoors. She loves the challenge of living and working out here.
It's that self-sufficiency, maybe, feeling like I can handle whatever gets thrown at me.
But American Prairie Reserve is an entirely different beast.
I see them coming in with big money and buying up ranches and walking over the top of the people that are here and not respecting the knowledge and the experience of the people that are already here.
Now, many of the ranchers here have arguably been good stewards of the land, and their efforts have even been recognized by national conservation groups. But for French, it's more than that. She'll never sell out to the reserve, because if she does, she says, she'll lose something deeper than the land.
I don't want to live a soft life. I don't want my grandkids to live a soft life. I don't want them to have air conditioning at the push of a button, or heat at the push of a button, or things delivered to their door. I want them to have to work for some things. I don't want life to be too easy.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie.
Coming up tomorrow on the next Yellowstone, we'll hear from a local hunter who thinks American Prairie Reserve could be the region's best hope. This series comes to us from the Mountain West News Bureau, a consortium of NPR member stations in the region. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.